Welcome back to the show. Today we are finishing up with Kenzie Evans interviewing me on my experience with sexual abuse and how I found healing and growth through that, and how you can too. Stay tuned for this challenging and yet important topic on sexual abuse. Hey parents, welcome to Fulfillment Therapy. Do you want to raise your kids better and have a stronger marriage? Are you up late at night researching marriage and parenting tools and self-care tips? Do you start each day hoping for deeper connections and less chaos, but it ends with family arguments and going 12 different directions again? My name's Kendra, wife, mom, therapist, and growth enthusiast. It wasn't until I discovered how to fulfill my unmet needs that I was finally able to show up as my best self, as a spouse and parent. I realized that by meeting my needs, I could more fully meet the needs of my family with more energy and less resentment. In this podcast, I teach parents skills like boundary setting, prioritizing personal needs, communication, and claiming ownership. Just like my clients, you'll be shocked by the improvement in your marriage, parenting, and personal life when you focus on fulfilling your important, unmet needs. Ready to prioritize yourself so you can quit mentally throat-punching people? Then grab those earbuds and head outside, and let's rock and talk.
Your story just goes to show how much the focus, not just in your family, but in many stories that I've heard, my own included, of how the focus is how to keep it hidden, how to brush it under the rug or protect the perpetrator. It wasn't so much about what needed to be done to really make restitution to this little person that did no wrong. And like, I think if that had been the focus, then you would have been cared for differently. And again, not to point a finger of shame, I think there wasn't many tools and resources at that time. And that's why it's so important for us to address now, so that we can go forward taking the lessons that we have learned and do differently.
And I'm so glad you spoke to that too, Kenzie, because that's exactly right. And sadly, they didn't have that culture of open dialogue and the importance of processing and talking about feelings. And there was not a lot of the psychoeducation that there is today. And that is essentially like why I tried to really remember that when I was talking with my child last night again. And as much as they did not want to talk about it, like trying to really honor that and give them a sense of control, but also reminding them that it's my job as a parent, that even if they don't want to talk about it now, we need to a little bit, because I need to make sure that they stay safe and other people stay safe, and that they can remember that I love them so much, even if it hurts a little bit at first, to process some of this. And that is a tricky balance, and it's not easy. And I don't blame parents for shying away from that.
Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, just emphasizing over and over, it's not your fault.
Exactly.
You're not broken. I love you. I'm here for you. And continuing to show up like that, because this is such an intense, what is the word I'm wanting? Breach of trust, of boundaries. It's so invasive to have it comes down to who you are as a person, your soul, your identity, to have someone remove your sense of security and peace in that way can be so detrimental, because it's so core to who you are as a person. And I think that's why there's so much trauma. There's so many dysfunctional behaviors attached to this kind of abuse, sexual abuse, because it's linked to her identity, right? And so parents, adults in these scenarios, reminding the victim who did no wrong that they are lovable, that they aren't at fault. And maybe parents, if you're not in a place to do that, get outside help.
Exactly.
Get a therapist, get other people involved, get loving aunts or uncles or grandparents involved to be able to develop relationships, safe, loving relationships with this person who has been taken advantage of. Because Absolutely. That's what they need, right? Are safe relationships.
Absolutely. No, and I love that you're speaking to that too. There's very much something, and I'll speak to that in a minute, but to saying these things that it's not your fault, because there's these key things we say to ourselves as victims, but they need to hear that over and over again. And that's why it's so important that it's not a one and done conversation. It's not revisited so much that they don't feel like they have control and they don't feel like they can ever let it go somewhat, but enough that they are being reminded that this was not okay. It's not your fault. And normalizing some of the things that you're experiencing. Like, for example, for little listeners around, you might want to turn it down for this part, but sometimes children are aroused by abusive sexual behaviors that are done to them. And that's really confusing. And whether it's you or a counselor, to carefully and lovingly explain, there's nothing wrong with you, your body responding that way, or even liking some of that. It's confusing and it's hard to understand that. Your body's just doing what bodies do, and that's normal and that's okay. And you are not to blame for that. They need to hear these things and understand these things at some point, and most of them never do. And you can understand how long-term, how that can then cause other issues, like, and people may tar and feather me for saying this, but gender confusion or difficulties in relationships, like I talked about mine, like this has detrimental effects down the road. Yep. When it's not talked about, when it's not understood, when you don't have psychoeducation, which is what you talked about, like getting parents educated, reaching out, like a listener and a friend reached out to me yesterday. She didn't know, so she asked for guidance and help, which is also why we're doing these episodes, to teach more, to have greater understanding.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kendra.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your experience. And I know there's probably so much more that you could delve into. These topics are so big and so complex. And maybe we will another time. But I know that we were wanting to offer some hope for survivors of sexual abuse that maybe are in that stage of, this has happened to me, and now what?
Right.
I don't know what to do. I don't have people in my life that were supportive of me and that I felt like I could go to. So now what? Right. You mentioned that you were able to receive some healing in your college years. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to speak to that?
Yeah, of course. So I didn't speak to this for just a couple sentences. I'm going to say that again, because of that beginning, I think that set the stage for some things happening in my middle school and high school years that I didn't ever label as sexual abuse because I didn't understand, like in my exploration of dating and all of those things, that I very much would label as that now. And so that's likely happened for people too, that they might not even know that there was some sexual abuse.
Could I share an example of that? That
yes,
just barely like dawned on me that this was completely inappropriate, but because of things that had happened to me, I just wrote it off and was like, oh, it's no big deal. It's normal. Like, this is what people do. I remember I worked in high school so I was 16, 17, and I worked at a fast food place, and we lived in a college town. So there were college students that I worked with. And I remember I would work with this one guy, and he was so nice, such a nice guy, really sweet, was really good at like teaching me and guiding me. But I remember there were some times where I would like be preparing food or something and I'd be like up against the table and he would just come up behind me and hug me and I could feel him aroused behind me. And he just told me, and I'm like sitting there like chopping vegetables and being like, you know, and, but I wrote it off as normal. I didn't say anything to anyone. I didn't say anything to my boss. I didn't say anything to my parents. It was normal. And, but like, even now, as I'm saying it, I feel that discomfort and like almost disgust inside of me rising up.
Right.
But that I so strongly pushed down, that I was so conditioned to push down that I didn't even say anything in the moment. I didn't say anything to anyone else. And just recently did I have like this aha moment that, oh, that was completely inappropriate for a college student to do that to a high school student.
Absolutely. And that's a great example of what it can look like when it's not so obvious and cookie cutter, like there is this obvious penetration or there is this fondling or something. That reminded me of the same thing. I didn't even list this as for one of my ways that I was abused, but say I was working in college as well. And I had a coworker that it was a very friendly relationship, but over time, he would like slap my butt a lot. And I'd like nervously laugh the first few times. And it just like kept happening. And it felt like a really uncomfortable power differential. And it just felt slimy. I think if you can identify times in your life where you feel uncomfortable, I guess there's not a better word for it at the moment than slimy. That's a good indication that there's something amiss and it's important to learn how to advocate for yourself, however that is. And we can go into that a little bit later too, but just baby steps. It's so uncomfortable in the moment to know what to do, how to respond, especially if your job is at stake, if you're not going to be believed, if it's a family secret that people are going to be mad at you, if you're going to get kicked out of something. Like there's so many reasons why it's very complicated.
Right. Like rejection is such a big one.
Absolutely. And, yeah. And I could give you so many examples of what this looks like, but again, we're always like,
maybe we'll do another episode of that.
Maybe we're going to have to,
examples but... of like abuse that we write off as not abuse.
I know there's a better word for that, but I'm struggling to come up with it at the moment. But again, looking at the spectrum, this pendulum, like where is it on that scale? They may not even consciously be doing it. I don't think they always are.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to be aware that this is not appropriate one way or the other. And that is difficult. But that's one thing I think we're going to have to speak to later because it's so vast. What do I do?
Yeah.
There's a speaking to the hope thing that you said when I said it was only be one or two lines. Hope and healing. So what helped me specifically find hope and healing? I've spoken to this a lot, but I can't imagine getting through that without counseling. And I mentioned that I had it in during my undergrad and during grad school. I just took advantage of it when they had a lot of counselors and availability. And for me, luckily, it was free. I know it's not for everyone, but most universities, even if you're not a college student, it's a very reduced rate because they're newer counselors, not always, but they also have a lot of training. So if you don't have money, please go to university and just try it out. I think it's like $25 or $2, or it varies based on your needs. Anyway, so that is the hope part. But I also had a lot of conversations with my husband. I did a lot of journaling for processing. I did visualizations and trauma therapy. I had to learn to validate my own experience instead of that mantra over and over. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. I was essentially just rewriting the script over and over that it doesn't matter. You don't matter. Stop complaining. This isn't a big deal.
Isn't it interesting? Like, I remember victim shaming victims, including myself, right?
Absolutely.
Like, we always downplay victims. It's like, oh my gosh, there they go again. I did the same thing. How often we victim shame ourselves. And that is that thought process right there. It's not that big of a deal.
Absolutely.
Stop having the reaction that you're having. Yeah. Stop being emotionally affected by this. going back to our fight, flight, freeze response, that's something that you don't control. So you're shaming yourself for a bodily function that happens automatically. Absolutely. So victim shaming, yes, removing that.
Yeah, and then just the last few things as far as what helped me find healing was psychoeducation. I needed to get educated. I read a lot of books. I listened to a lot of podcasts. I took a lot of classes. Now, I'm not saying everyone has to do those things, but if you really want to heal and not run from this and perpetuate these cycles, then you need to find healing. And that's not passive. Unfortunately, this was done to us, but we can change that by then acting to get out of that cycle. And I just want to read a couple things that I was thinking about as I was jotting notes yesterday. Sexual abuse robs us of our sense of safety and trust. And Kenzie, you kind of spoke to that a little bit. But when we heal, we can reclaim that power that we lost and rebuild our lives, even if it takes decades, which it really does. And I want to speak to that a little bit too in my relationship, but I want to say these two thoughts first. Speaking out about sexual abuse is not just an act of courage. It's a vital step towards breaking the cycle of silence and stigma. So Kenzie, we talked about how complicated this is to speak openly about things that where some of these people are still alive, and it's very much part of our stories. It is hard to talk about this. And we can't change our culture if we don't break that cycle. And then the last little part, well, I had a couple. Maybe it's not the last, just bear with me. Love it. Healing from sexual abuse is not a linear journey. It's a series of these brave incremental steps that 1% over decades, potentially. It's not an overnight solution, I'm sorry to say, my friends. It's going to take some time. So have some compassion for yourself in that journey.
So much empathy for yourself. Because again, this is something that was heaped upon you. And that was then going back to our amygdala, right? That we talked about in our brain episode of fight, flight, freeze. Trauma takes place in that. It's stored in that part of the brain. Mm-hmm. That is your automatic center of your brain. And so just having empathy for the process that it takes to unveil that, to unearth that, and to really work through that, because something was done to you that then was stored in your brain in a automatic, subconscious, out of your control place.
Exactly. And there, we spoke to this earlier too, kind of going along with that, but there's, I would say, about five things I hear a lot from clients that they say, these statements about themselves. It's my fault. I'm damaged, which you spoke to, Kenzie. I'm alone, which I feel when I'm really triggered, that's like the one I keep going back to. I'm alone. I'm in this all by myself. I can't trust anyone, and I'm powerless. So often we need more control. I'm raising my hand here. I need more control in my life because I feel like I don't have control.
Yeah. Me too.
I love you. Listeners,
I raised my hand.
We both raised our hand. And I just want to talk about it lastly, because I know this is going over for time, but some of the things that I have learned. And then one thing, don't let me forget, Kenzie, to mention my current relationship with my husband.
Okay.
So I've learned about the lasting impact that trauma can have on your well-being. And I'm not talking just mental. I'm talking about emotional and physical and all of the rest. This leaks into every area of our life. I've learned that if we want to improve those things, we can't run from this. I've learned the importance of setting and enforcing personal boundaries, of being able to have a voice and to say no. That's saying no to sex, whatever that is. That's being able to use your voice and having it be safe to say no. Another thing I learned is the importance of seeking support and finding safe spaces to share these experiences. And maybe you don't have to do that publicly like I am now to this level, but maybe that's a support group. Maybe that's with a best friend. Maybe that's your journal, whatever that is. And then two more. I've learned about the resilience of the human spirit and the capacity for healing and growth. That has been post-traumatic growth. The growth that I've seen through this has been quite beautiful. That's funny that there's beauty in this, but there can be at the end. And the last one goes with that. How our wounds make us who we are. How our scars help us discover our purpose. Largely because those things happened to me, I'm here today. In a weird, strange way, I guess I'm grateful for it. Not grateful that I had to go through that, but that I could do something to turn it around for good, to help others. So that's what I've learned. And I really believe that those of you that have had something like this, that those scars can in turn help you discover a greater purpose. And I guess for my final thing that I want to say that I asked Kenzie to remind me about is my husband. This journey of sexual abuse for me, I had no idea it would take so long and that it would continue to affect my intimate life. And I want to tell you that it has, and it does, and I'm still discovering how much it has, and really trying to have this open dialogue and communication with my husband. What I'm okay with, what I'm not okay with, why, what is triggering to me, how we can navigate that while not just staying in that victim mentality, but then moving forward with it. So if this is happening in your life, this is normal. There are things that you can do about it, and please get help because it is complicated to navigate on your own. I just threw a bunch of words at you. Do you have anything to say about that, Kenzie? I know I just said a lot.
No, I loved all of that so much. I loved your focus on how God can make beauty from ashes, yeah. Right? And I think that that's really what your story has spoken to me, is that God can make beauty from ashes, whether that's through the people he puts in our lives, like spouses, friends, and or others who help us to see that we can trust, that we can build, we can grow and become and still be the people that we want to be, even though this happened to us. And so I'm really grateful for that reminder, Kendra. I think you are so courageous and so strong. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Of course. Thank you for being my guest co-host. I just love you.
I love you.
But I'm eager. It sounds like such a funny word to use when we're talking about sexual abuse, but I'm eager to hear from you to get your insights. So those will be the next few episodes you hear about, will be about Kenzie and her story and her journey. So that's where we will go to next. Just a little shout out for that coming up.
Cliffhanger. Just kidding.
Yes, a cliffhanger. How appropriate. Thank you all for coming on and listening, and always for your support. If there are any topics like these that you need clarification on or further psychoeducation, please let us know, because we love to help. Whether it's questions for me or Kenzie, we'd love to answer them. So let us know. On fulfillmenttherapy.org, there is a contact tab that you can fill out, and we will get back to you. Anything else to end, Kenzie, that you'd like to say?
Nope. I just want to say thank you so much, Kendra. I think you're amazing. You're doing awesome work. Thank you, listeners.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and that you found healing through it. If you would like more information on sexual abuse and how others navigate it, in 2 weeks, we will be back with Kenzie Evans talking about her experience, where I interview her. It's going to be amazing, so you're not going to want to miss it. Also, go to fulfillmenttherapy.org to sign up for one-on-one coaching if you need that extra help, that accountability, and those therapeutic resources and that background from someone else that can help you become your best self, that can help you become who you are meant to become if you're feeling stuck in those basic needs and you're ready to meet your growth needs. If you have any questions or any topics you'd like us to speak to, there's also a contact form on fulfillmenttherapy.org where you can let us know those things, or else email me at fulfillment.therapist@gmail.com. My friends, have an incredible week. And my hope for you and my prayer for you is that you will find the courage to heal, that you will proactively do the things that will bring you greater joy than you ever imagined before. Best of luck, my friends. Hey, friends. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, chances are someone else would too. Would you take 30 seconds to share this with a friend who's looking for greater family fulfillment? And while you're sharing, tell me what you think about the show by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. It refuels me when I hear this podcast is helping you. No matter what your house or your hair looks like, I'll meet you back here every Monday and Thursday morning for more episodes. Until then.